Pardon the interruption, but I'm Mike Wilbon. Tony, a jar of Elvis's hair just sold for $72,000.
I'm Tony Kornheiser. It was a little pricey, but wait till you see it glued on my head. It's gonna look great.
You know what? If you do a show, if you do a full show with Elvis's hair glued to your head, I will pay you $72,000.
Just let's line it up. Let's do it. For 72 grand, I will definitely glue his hair to my head. Welcome to PTI, boys and girls. In today's episode, NFL MVP odds, old guy homers, and Ryder Cup selections. But we begin today with 19-year-old Leyla Fernandez, who is now into the semis at the U.S. Open. She is Canadian with Ecuadorian and Filipino parents. She's ranked 73rd in the world, and the New York crowd loves her. On the way to the semis, Fernandez has beaten Naomi Osaka, Angelique Kerber, and Alina Svitolina, who have seven majors in their pockets. Wilbon, what do you make of Fernandez's run?
It's exciting. I mean, you know, people get overstated and they can look for things. And knowing these two generations of people who talk about sports, sometimes professionally, they'll find a way to sort of numerically evaluate it in some phony way. It's the joy she brings to the arena, Tony. And I noticed yesterday, you used the word playing to the crowd, and she does that. You're right. But Tony, she didn't have to. The crowd plays to her because she's excited. And I can't help but, and I have to be careful here, compare this to my favorite player and something that she obviously goes through and has talked about and is stepping away for a while, Naomi Osaka, who's my favorite player on the men's side or the women's side, just my fave. The joy that this young woman, a teenager, just turned 19, brings, it stands in stark comparison. I hope Naomi Osaka can find that because I'm sure she had it. You know, hope is still in her. But this is just oozing out, and you can't but feel affected by it. I feel joy watching her. Hope that's not an overstatement, Tom, but that's the way I feel.
No, I agree with everything that you've said. I mean, I don't want to get carried away here because we have seen teenagers get to the semis in a major and go out in the second round the next week. You know, that happens a lot. In fact, this young woman won a tournament earlier this year. In her next 11 tournaments in a row, she was out in the first or the second round, so I don't want to get carried away. And maybe what I'm about to say is tempered by the fact that Federer and Nadal and Serena are not in this tournament. And the New York crowd, which I know well, having grown up there, wants somebody to love. So I'm going to be careful here when I say this, because they love her. And I do think she plays to the crowd. I think she's extraordinarily demonstrative. I agree with you completely that what she does is joyful, and we have too many tennis players who seem tortured by what they do for a living. And as long as this young woman continues to win, she's going to have that crowd. Mike, my bona fides, as we like to say, go back to 1971 at Forest Hills when Chris Everett made her debut. Chris Everett is nothing like this girl. She was an ice maiden on the court. She had no reaction to anything. She stood on the baseline. She ripped your heart out of your body and ate it in front of you. But the New York crowd loved her. They loved Connors. They loved McEnroe. They don't love everybody. They sense in certain players something that they relate to. And so far, Leyla Fernandez has that. But again, who knows what happens next week? Right?
Yeah, we're not assessing, we're not projecting performance or greatness or any of that. We're talking about the now. And I'm not a New Yorker, but I've been in those I've been on those grounds many, many times in my career. And there, she appeals to something in me. I just like watching her, whether it's demonstrative or whether it's organic, Tony. I don't know, but it's cool. I can't wait to watch the next match.
Yep.
Old guys got it done in baseball last night, Tony. I'm sure you noticed, like I did, 41-year-old Albert Pujols of the Dodgers. That's still hard for me to say. Got a standing O in St. Louis. And then responded by promptly hitting one out. Meanwhile, 41-year-old Nelson Cruz became the oldest player in baseball history to hit 30 home runs in a season after hitting two in the Rays' win over the Sox. Tone, whose night to you was more significant?
So this is not even close to me. It's a slam dunk one way. I'm not knocking Nelson Cruz. Nelson Cruz, this is an achievement, getting to be the oldest player to ever hit 30 home runs. I sat on this show a few weeks ago. I said he'll never get to 500. Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe he's Tom Brady, and maybe he will get there. Albert Pujols is a couple of months older than Nelson Cruz. Nelson Cruz's home runs last night gave him 447. Albert Pujols has a little number I like to call 679. And what he did last night in St. Louis, where they gave him a standing ovation just for showing up, because while he was there, and I think it was the 10 years he was there, he was Ruth, he was Gehrig, he was Musial. He was unbelievably great. And when he hits one out in his first at bat, and then they call him out for a curtain call because they love him so much and they want him to know it. Nelson Cruz never going to have that in his life.
Yeah, Nelson Cruz's accomplishment is just an accounting. This refers back to what I said about numbers. And by the way, it's a significant number. It's not a made-up millennial and next-gen number. It isn't. So big clap for him. I hate the St. Louis Cardinals. Like, I don't hate anybody. I hate them more than the Packers, actually. When Yadier Molina went and stood out in front of home plate, it as if to say...
Hugged him.
I hugged him. But I mean, the standing away from home plate was, the spotlight's on you, big boy. I played with you. We won. We got hardware with you. We're both going to Cooperstown from St. Louis, all right? And when he did that and let the crowd just... applause, bathe over Pujols, I got goosebumps. And I hate them. I do. But I don't hate them individually. I admire those players, what they stand for, what they stood for. St. Louis, sorry, Boston and New York. St. Louis, in my mind, is the best baseball town in America. And they knew how to celebrate their guy, no matter where he had gone otherwise and elsewhere and since.
So let me get to that point. Because when he hits that home run out in St. Louis, that's that moment that gives you chills. That's when Derek Jeter gets a home run for his 3,000th hit. That's a Field of Dreams moment for Albert Pujols very, very, very late in his career.
That's wonderful.
Again, no disrespect to Nelson Cruz.
No.
But that other thing, that's a special moment. We move on. The United States Ryder Cup roster is set. Captain Steve Stricker used his 6 captain's picks on Jordan Spieth, Xander Schauffele, Tony Finau, Harris English, Daniel Berger, and Scottie Scheffler. The odd man out is Patrick Reed. Stricker said the decision was so hard that he lost sleep over it. Wilbon, let us start with Reed. What do you think of Stricker bypassing Patrick Reed?
Well, the most important thing Stricker said, other than not getting sleep, even more important than that, was that he was going with the youth movement. He was going young. That the best players out there today are younger, they become great earlier, and they produce now. Every other Ryder Cup captain I've ever listened to talked about getting experienced players. And they followed up on it by putting experienced players in for the wild card spots. There were fewer of them. But Stricker made a conscious decision, Tony, and he's opened himself up. Let me give him first credit for having the nerve to say, here's what I believe in. I'm the captain. Here's who I'm putting on the team. But, man, if they go down to an experienced team of European players, all of whom seem to be studs in this event, forget the major championships, they're studs in the Ryder Cup, an international play. That's going to open Stricker up to criticism. But the Patrick Reed part of it, Tony, I don't understand it, really. Like, are other players not in favor of him? What's the mood in the locker room with him? This is about camaraderie as much as anything. Europe has it. We usually don't have the same amount.
The greatest moment I ever saw in Ryder Cup was at Hazeltine, where Rory McIlroy birdied and egged the crowd on to cheer for him. And Patrick Reed came back and birdied on top of him and egged the crowd on to cheer for him. And that particular individual match became, for me, an Ali Frazier fight. It was unbelievably great. That's when Patrick Reed began to be known as Captain America. Let me give you some numbers on Patrick Reed in the Ryder Cup. He's 7-3-2 overall and 3-0 in singles. This is Seve territory. Tiger Woods and Phil Mickelson are under 500 in their overall record. You can't leave this guy off the team. If he doesn't have double pneumonia on the day you're going out there, you have to put him on. Let's talk about pairings. Okay, nobody likes Reed. Everybody knows that nobody likes Reed. Nobody likes DeChambeau. So put DeChambeau with Reed, because you've got a possibility of 5 matches and only one of them is single. So the pairing is important. Mike,
yeah.
you're 100% right about the European squad. They got veterans who know what they're doing.
They do.
I would not have left Patrick Reed off this team. Not at all.
Tony,
not me.
As we often say, this is a results-based business. So if Steve Stricker's team wins, okay, and they don't have Patrick Reed, he'll be blessed. He'll be fine. But if they lose and if they go down hard and they don't have Patrick Reed, and, you know, I'm not a Patrick Reed guy. Reed and DeChambeau, I can't summon anything in me to cheer for them individually. But I got to say, it's hard to leave them off, Tom.
Six of our 12 guys are in their first Ryder Cup.
First year. Finau's played
once. It's not his first rodeo, kids.
No.
And he's not old. He's in his 30s.
No,
let's take a break. Coming up, Patrick Mahomes is a favorite to win MVP, but is he likely to?
And tonight, will the U.S. men finally get a win toward World Cup qualifying? Tone, I know you are on the edge of your seat worried about qualifying round.
McIlroy, Casey, Westwood, Fleetwood, Rahm, Sergio, Poulter. These guys have won in Ryder Cup. They know
it's
what they're
studs,
doing.
Baby.
PTI fans, listen up. Have you heard you can listen to episodes of this very show ad-free on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership? That's right. All your favorite PTI episodes can be heard on Amazon Music ad-free. But that's not all. You can listen to other top podcasts like The Low Post and First Take ad-free as well. They also have your favorite shows like The Daily, Part of My Take, and Up First, all without ads. You know what this means? Uninterrupted listening, so no more cliffhangers. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts, so we know they definitely have something for you. And it's already included in your Prime membership. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/PTI. That's amazon.com/PTI to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
It's time for toss-up. Two men enter, one man leaves, and then wonders how many more days we're going to be stuck on ESPN2, huh? What's first?
You're going to be in
toss-up. Who you got for NFL MVP? Patrick Mahomes or the field?
Okay, this is a betting question because Patrick Mahomes has the shortest odds of anybody in the league at 5-1. That is what this is about. If you give me the field against one guy in a subjective situation, not an objective situation, I'm going to take the field. Of course I'm going to take the field. Patrick Mahomes is the best football player on the planet, but he was that last year and the year before too. And Lamar Jackson was the MVP 1 year and Aaron Rodgers was the MVP 1 year. What if he gets hurt? Then what happens to this particular bet? If you say to me, okay, will you take a quarterback? Yeah, I'll take a quarterback against the field because, Mike, the last 8 times they gave out this award, it was to a quarterback on 13 of the last 14. But I'm not going to take this quarterback or any one quarterback against the field when you have Josh Allen and Russell Wilson. And, you know, I think that Matthew Stafford has a chance. So, no, I'm not taking Mahomes against the field.
I'm not even taking a quarterback. I'm taking Derrick Henry. I'm going to flash back to the days where running backs were the most glamorous people just a half step behind quarterback. And we could go all the way back, of course, to Jim Brown. And before that, Marion Motley and Gale Sayers and all the great running backs. Tony, Derrick Henry, if he has the kind of year that it looks like he's capable of, all right, where he's already had a 2,000-yard year, only Eric Dickerson, when we go back to 1983-84, had like, you know, an 1,800-yard year, then a 2,000-yard year. The number of guys who've been able to put together those kinds of seasons back-to-back,
yeah.
I know it's a one-season vote, but if Derrick Henry goes up over 1,700 yards, and by the way, with Julio Jones there, he might be able to do less and have greater impact for Tennessee. I am going with Derrick Henry, yeah, specifically for the MVP.
There's too much opportunity for one guy to carry a team and win this thing. It's easier. Next.
Toss-up, more likely to win tonight's World Cup qualifier, the U.S. or Honduras?
Okay, I'm out of my league here. I am not a soccer guy. I know next to nothing about soccer, but I do know that in the last two games that the United States teams played, they played against El Salvador and Canada. They tied both games, and they scored a total of one goal. A total of one goal. Now, we are allegedly ranked 10th in the world, and El Salvador is ranked 64th, and Canada's ranked 59th, and we have one goal. And we have all these great players playing in Europe, which supposedly signifies that they're great players. And we have one goal in two games. So I'm not picking us over Honduras, especially not in Honduras. I'm going to pick 0-0 or 1-1, and that's as far as I'm going.
Yeah, I knew we'd get to the goal-scoring part of the program, which Tony jumped right to, which is good. And Honduras is supposed to be a pretty good defensive club. Well, I mean, come on, if you can only score one goal against El Salvador and Canada, I mean, I sort of get stuck on that too, Tony. And look, at some point, if you're supposed to have won each of those games and you didn't, you're going to have to start to win some games that you're not supposed to win. It's not a must, all right? It's like the third game and out of 14 in the qualifying effort. So let's not get crazy here, but I don't know who's going to win. I'm not even going to pick a team to win. I just know the United States needs to start scoring and needs to figure it out against a defensive team. I'm going to watch, Tony. I know you'll be asleep and you'll be an hour into nap time by then. I'll hold it up for the team. I'll represent
I'm
for PTI.
Nats. Still watch the Nats. That's
Please.
It. Let's take one last break. Still to come.
Speaking of one
Derek
goal.
Jeter enters the Hall of Fame.
Novak Djokovic attempts to make the men's semifinals at the Open. How come all these ex-Nationals relievers that you hate seem to be getting it done for other people?
I'll tell you who's getting it done for other people. Max Scherzer's getting it done for other people.
He is.
One goal in two games. One goal with all these wonder boys out there. One goal.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Happy time, people. Happy 31st birthday, Gerrit Cole. In December of 2019, Cole signed an enormous 9-year, $324 million contract with the Yankees. If you had to vote right now, you might say he's worth it. Cole is leading the American League in strikeouts and wins. After leaving last night's game against Toronto with hamstring tightness, Cole is 14-7 with a 2.78 ERA. Cole was twice drafted in the first round, the first time out of high school by the Yankees, and the second time as the overall number one pick by the Pirates out of UCLA, where he was teammates with Trevor Bauer and not friendly teammates. Cole was 59-42 for the Pirates in five seasons. Then he went to the Astros, where he was 35-10 in two seasons with a 2.68 ERA. So far with the Yankees, Cole is 21-10 and a 2.80 ERA in 38 starts. Cole is in the hunt to win the Cy Young this season, and that would put him even with Bauer, who won one last year in Cincinnati.
Tom, it seems to me that Cole is every bit the equal of your boy Max Scherzer, who's great. They're both great. If you ask me right now, which one do you want to take from right now, early September to the end of the season, including the playoffs, I don't know which one I would take.
Really? Because I'd take Scherzer because he doesn't have a hamstring problem today.
Of course you would.
Not so happy anniversary, Cam Newton. On this day 5 years ago, coming off his MVP year in a Super Bowl appearance, Newton and the Carolina Panthers were battered by the Broncos in an immediate rematch of the prior season's Super Bowl, which Denver won 24-10. Newton was often hit after he released the ball and appeared to be targeted when he ran. There were four obvious helmet-to-helmet incidents, though only one was called. Newton was never the same player. He'd been 45-32-1 as a starter in Carolina. Including this game and going forward, Newton was just 30-31. Last year in New England, Newton could hardly throw the ball downfield. Just last week, the Patriots named Mac Jones their starting quarterback and released Newton. Throughout training camp, one of the biggest stories in the NFL was Cam or Mac, Mac or Cam. Now there are crickets when it comes to Cam. He's just sitting there.
Tony, I'm going to do something other talking head shows don't do. I'm going to give my co-host some credit. After that game was played, I remember you called me and you were in a lather. And you said, Cam Newton has been hit in ways that stay with you and stay with you. And I was like, Tone, calm down. He's a big, strong guy. You said, no. Did you see these hits? You were worried about him then. You were right to be worried about him. I do believe those hits had long-lasting impact on Cam Newton. I don't care how big and strong he is. Those shots, when I see them now these years later, Tone, I'm flinching here in a television studio 2,000 miles away.
Yep. Happy trails to unemployment for Le'Veon Bell. The former Pro Bowl running back in Pittsburgh has signed on with the Baltimore Ravens practice squad in hopes of solidifying the Ravens' injury-riddled backfield. In addition to losing starting running back J.K. Dobbins for the season, the Ravens have also lost Justice Hill, leaving only Gus Edwards and Tyson Williams. Now, Bell was great in Pittsburgh. Then he sat out the 2018 season to gain free agency and get rich. And he got rich with the Jets, but he wasn't any good there. The Jets released Bell, and after that, so did the Kansas City Chiefs. The Ravens have gone the practice squad route with big names before. Last year, they signed Dez Bryant to their practice squad. Then they put him on the real team. Bryant had 6 catches and 2 touchdowns in 6 games, but he's gone now.
It seems unthinkable to me that Le'Veon Bell just has no career left, that he's done nothing. And when you do nothing for the Jets, you are double nothing. I'm stunned at this, Tony. And I keep thinking maybe there's just, you know, one more big squeeze, maybe, hopefully, for him.
Don't know. Here we go to the big finish. Gonzaga coach Mark Few, cited for driving under the influence. Your thoughts?
When these things come up, I always have one thought. Don't drink and drive. That's my thought. Derek Jeter, Larry Walker, Ted Simmons, and the late Marvin Miller were inducted into the Baseball Hall of Fame this afternoon. Your reaction?
In September, not July. It's always in July. You stay at the Otisaga, a great hotel. You play leather stockings. Not in September. The Blue Jays have won 6 straight. They're within 2 of Boston for the second wild card slot. Do you like their chances?
Nah, not as much as I like Boston's chances and maybe even Oakland's chances, Tony, but we're going to see about that over the next few weeks. Pete Alonso hit his 100th and 101st home runs last night. Is that a big deal?
Yeah, he's a kid. He's 26. He's banging them out of here. I mean, he's got a chance to be a big-time home run guy for a long time. Last one, U.S. Open tonight, Djokovic and Berrettini. Who you got? Got your boy.
Djokovic beat Berrettini 3 times. They played twice in slams, including Wimbledon final. I'm going to go 4 in a row for the Joker, Tony. I know you don't like that.
We're out of time. Try and do better the next time. I'm Tony Kornheiser.
I'm Mike Wilbon. Same time tomorrow, knuckleheads. You can get the BTI podcast on the ESPN app or Apple Podcasts.